Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne. I'm a comedian, a writer, and I'm half of the Scummy Mummies. I'm a happy fatty and a loud farter, and I'm absolutely thrilled, listener. I've got not one, but two amazing women in the house today. Welcome, Donna. Welcome, Evadne. Hello.
Hello.
Now, I've been a huge fan of you both. Like, I love you both and what you do. And today we're doing a stylist special. These powerhouses make magic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you both to introduce yourselves and tell me a little bit about what you do. So I'll start with you, Evadne. Hello.
Hello.
You are Evadne.
I am Evadne.
And you are a mum that slays.
I'm a mum that slays. I am trying to slay motherhood, mm-hmm. and I have two kids. And I'm also a kids fashion stylist. About 3 years ago, I started a platform called Mums That Slay because I wanted to stop talking about the kids and start talking about the women and celebrating them.
Unreal. Donna, tell us about you, Sulky Doll Styling.
Hello. I'm Donna. I'm also a stylist, but I don't do children like Evadne. I think she's amazing for doing that. I'm also a mum. I have two children, one of whom hates me because she's 13, one of whom's 7 and loves me. Just about. And I do styling for mainly red carpet at the moment and celebs, of which
ooh, celebs.
I've done you before.
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm not a celeb.
Yeah.
Anyway, you say lovely things. So you've done a little bit of Strictly people lately, is that right?
Yes. So three, because I have Gemma, the lovely Gemma Atkinson, who was on Strictly. And then through Gemma, I got her boyfriend and baby daddy, Gorka. And then through Gorka, I've also got Dr. Rand, who, of course, you know very well.
Yes, I do. Love the Dr. Rand.
So, he loves you too.
Oh, I mean, that's the podcast done. Okay. Now, this is a body podcast, but I was really keen to get you both in to talk about fashion and how we dress our bodies and how we feel about our bodies when we're looking good or not looking good, the case may be. So can I start with you, Evadne? Can you tell us about your relationship with your own body?
Yeah, I see my body in three parts. My body before I had children, my body after I had my son, and then my body now after having two children. There are three stories, three yeah. chapters. So right now I'm getting used to this third chapter. I am larger now than I was when I got home from the hospital with my daughter almost four years ago. It's been a process, but I've been learning how to love where I'm at right now. And my main priority is I do want to and need to lose weight just for my strength, and the kind of job I do is very physical. But when I go to the gym, I'm more focused on getting really strong and getting stress-free. So I actually really love my body. I particularly love my boobs because they filled out with motherhood. And they're kind of perky from all my arm lifting.
So, you've got a great rack of admin. Thank you for sharing those. I'm sorry this is only audio, but maybe we could add some sort of visuals on the Instagram website. Now, Donna, tell us about your relationship, because I've known Donna for a few years. And one of the things that you shared quite early on is about your relationship and how your body has changed quite dramatically sort of in the last few years.
Yeah, hugely. I mean, I have to work very, very, very hard to to stay slim, and it's something, it's a lifestyle choice, it's something that I do, but I've you know, been on a diet since I was 11. And so I have a very interesting relationship with my body. But I have kind of, as I approach my 44th birthday, I am coming to terms with who I am more and more. But I think I've never met a woman who hasn't got a complex relationship with their body. I work with some celebrities who have bodies to die for, and they, like me, have screenshots of Jennifer Lopez, like, on their, you know, for kind of inspiration, or other people. So I think it doesn't matter. I will look at somebody and go, crikey, you know, you to die for. And they're like, oh no, I've got this, I've got this. I think it's just, I think for us as women, it's the most important thing is that by saying every day, I am beautiful, I am powerful, I am strong, the more you say that, the more you start to believe it. And I think it's that I am are the two most positive words in the world. And so sometimes I will say, oh, I am feeling fat today, or I'm feeling this. And that kind of sets up the day. So what you've got to do is kind of, it's the mind over matter. It's very powerful. And I think the I am awesome is what we should all be saying when we look in the mirror.
I mean, yes.
I 100% believe in that. I'm currently having this very interesting treatment at the hospital twice a week for my eczema, which involves me standing completely naked in a box filled with UV lights for 15 minutes. And, you know, I get in there and it's kind of mirrors in there. And this morning I looked at myself and I'm like, oh, a bit lumpy there, a bit of this and that. But I was like, my God, this body has done amazing things.
Yeah.
I've carried two children with fibroids and all of that kind of stuff. And the physical aches and pains, you just don't understand why you've got them as you get older. But body's amazing.
Mm.
And you have to literally speak out the words. I start each day saying positive things, because what you say, you are.
I agree.
And it has to be I am, not I will be.
No,
when I
am.
Lose weight, I will be this. It's I am right now. This is me.
One of my clients who has a phenomenal body is pregnant at the moment, and her mum said something to her and it really resonated with her. And she said, loving your body when your body's in good shape, or when you're happy with it, is like loving your children when they're good.
Mm.
You love your children all the time.
Yeah.
They might do your head in on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
And trust me, my love's running very thin by about 7:30. But it's still, you have to love your body whatever, however it is. And like you say, it's given you those amazing children. And the other thing is that I've got something going on in my personal life at the moment, and the phrase, your health is your wealth, oh my God, until you have your health taken away from you, you do not realise how powerful your health is. So does it matter? I am one of those women who spends 95% of their life trying to be 5% thinner, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Health is your wealth. And we've got to remember that. Bodies are, they're just the vehicle.
Exactly right. And you've mentioned your boobs, Evadne. Thank you very much.
Which are fabulous.
Which are fabulous. I have you got them. Something that you really love about your body, Donna?
I think my waist. I like my waist because it's my thinnest part. But also because...
I'm just coughing.
Because I'm so short, like, I used to have great boobs until I had children. And then, and I've got, because I'm short, I've got short legs. But the one thing that kind of, even when I was kind of at my biggest, I still went in and out. And I think for me, that kind of having that really little waist for me is kind of what defines. So I always, I in fact, today I'm not, but I usually wear a belt because that's like my way of saying, look at this part that's tiny.
Now, as you're both, you know, people trust you to make them look better, whether it's children, your clients or whatever. How do you convey that sort of positivity to your clients? I'll start with you, Evadne.
Yeah, I mean, it's different with mine because it's children.
Yeah.
And so you're not talking about body confidence. But what I try to do is I think it's really important that children have a voice as well, and being able to express themselves. So I mean, it's some of the editorial shoots I do are really quite crazy, and there have been tears. It's, oh, I don't want to wear this, and this is really weird, and no, I don't like sunglasses. But when you do get that moment of them loving it and it being very different to what they're used to, but them enjoying this new kind of exploration of their side, that's what I try to do is it's kind of like a collaborative thing rather than you must wear this. And certainly with my children, they both have a very distinct sense of styling. My daughter is 100% going to be a fashion queen.
100%.
I can tell. I took her to her first fashion show a couple of the weeks. She's on the throw. She grabbed my camera and only took pictures of things that she liked. So it's serious.
She's being brought up well.
Yeah.
And you, Donna, because I want to sort of get to one of the major events in your life was styling the Oscars, wasn't it? Can you tell us about what that was like for you?
One of the major, that was the biggest gig of my career. But thank you. It was incredible, and I'll always be enormously grateful for it. But it was also, I mean, I spoke to you about it at the time, as you know, but it was also kind of quite upsetting on lots of levels because it was the best opportunity I ever had. It was a very small budget film. And I literally had five people to dress for the Oscars. And I was being asked more and more to style more people. And it got to the point that I had to ask the kind of person who was sending me them, what size are they? Because, and that was really upsetting, because if they were a size 8 or a 10, which is sample size, it was no drama. If they were over a size 10, because in fashion, 12 is a plus size.
What?
Yeah.
You know that. And so... If they were over a size 12, it made my job much, much, much harder. And what I shouldn't have been, that shouldn't have been an issue for me. I should have been going, the more the bloody merrier. I couldn't be more thrilled to be taking you all to the red carpet. But it got to the point where I was saying to fashion PRs, am I going to have to sell a fucking kidney to get a dress over a size 12? It happens every year at the Oscars. I think it was Bebe Rexha talked about it at the Grammys this year. And it was it's the same every award ceremony. Lots and lots of designers do not want to see plus size, and by plus size I mean me, women, in their clothes.
So Tess Halliday has spoken about this a lot. She is a plus size model from America who was recently on the cover
Cosmo.
Of Cosmopolitan. And she said, look, I just had
She's
to get...
amazing.
She is divine, the most beautiful, beautiful woman. But she just had to order something, I think either from like, little, what's it called, Pretty Little Thing or something like that. She said it cost her $150. And she said, because no one gave me a dress. And it seems so ridiculous that we're in 2019 and that fat shaming and that designers don't want to see their dresses on bigger models.
But I would argue that a size 12, it wouldn't even be classed as being having an abnormal, you know, or an out of range BMI. You know, you can be a size 12 and still have a BMI of 20 something, you know. Yeah. So it's worse than that. It's almost like it's not even fat shaming. It's kind of it's a whole other level. It's like you will conform to our standards. Yeah. You will have this body shape. And, you know, I'm not showing shade on other stylists, but how hard is it to style a size 6 beautiful celebrity when you've got every fashion house in the world saying, can I dress her? Mm. Versus you have a size 12 average woman and you're literally going to everybody going, please, 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 can I get your... The other thing is that there were some PRs who are really, really phenomenal. I need to mention them now. There's a guy called Ryan... who was at Pop PR, and he literally went out of his way to find me dresses for these for the women I had to style. But it really was like he was the minority. I had people kind of going, yeah, right, no. Because they, you know, and fashion PRs are in this situation where they then have to go to the designer or the brand and say, are you happy for this person? No. You know?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. They're either too old, they're too fat, or it's not big enough, you know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, what I'm seeing in the adult fashion industry, it is getting better on age, and it's kind of getting better on race and that kind of inclusivity. But size, no, it's still the same. Like, everyone needs to have very tall, very tiny body. I've got a friend who was modelling for Yves Saint Laurent. She's only 21 now. Her natural body is maybe an 8 and she's 6 foot plus. And she was told she was too hippie and had to lose more weight and kind of put her foot down. And now she's on a baking degree and loving it and not modelling. And I mean, what can you do if you've got someone who's a teenager being told that she's too hippie?
No, I mean, it's outrageous.
It is.
It's outrageous because you and I are both really passionate about fashion and how incredible and how empowering your image and fashion can be.
Yeah.
And we both see our roles as almost like there's a therapeutic part to our role. We've talked about, you know, I'm from a therapy background. But when you come up against that, you really do want to say, what is wrong with you?
I've been on photo shoots and you've gone into the bathroom after lunch and there's been sick in the sink. I think we
still have a perception of change, because I think a lot of us, we now curate our Instagram feeds for people who inspire us, who are different, who are diverse. And it was really funny, I picked up a magazine, which I haven't done for ages, and I was kind of almost shocked that there was just no diversity of sizes, colour, backgrounds, all those sort of things. And I think it's funny because we now can, we can curate and we can block out images that we don't want to see anymore, but that's still so present in the mainstream fashion.
100%.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
What changes would you like to see? You know, are there, I mean, obviously there's still things that, you know, practically shit you both about fashion, but you're both so passionate about what you do and the industry you're in. What changes would you both like to see?
I think for me, I grew up watching fashion TV, and I miss the days when designers were less worried about the money and the trends and what was going to sell, and just felt really confident to make, kind of put their flag in the sand and say that's what they stand for. I'm really bored of seeing everyone kind of dressing the same, and that's why, and one of the reasons I do Mums at Slay, is I really want to celebrate individuality. So I think individuality in fashion can come not only with people feeling like they don't need to follow the trends, and that coming from designers, but it being much more inclusive. Mm-hmm. I want to see a rainbow of different people on the runways and attending the shows as well. The people that work on sets, there aren't many people that look like me in the kids' fashion industry. Just a lot more inclusivity and a celebration of everybody and not just a few. It's still too elitist.
Yeah. And Donna, have you got sort of...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar to that in about diversity. I mean, a lot of what I do is for the red carpet. And the issue with the red carpet is people say that there's no diversity on the red carpet, or that people look kind of homogenous and the same because of stylists. People have always had stylists. Even Cher had a bloody stylist back in the 70s. It's not the stylist's fault. Well, the problem now is that there didn't used to be the same level of, not fat shaming, but trolling. So I have lots of clients who have phenomenal bodies who I'd like to push and like them to be braver, but they don't want to be braver because they don't want to appear on ASAC stylist page or What Was She Thinking page. And those pages are run by tabloids and, you know, magazines, where people, it's just a free-for-all where people can absolutely pick apart somebody's look. And that didn't used to happen. It didn't used to happen. Remember Björk
dress.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, that goes down in the annals of history. She didn't care.
We need more of that.
But the problem is that there are people who are prepared to take those risks, but you've got the kind of machines around them, the publicists, their agents going, no, we don't want the publicity on this, or, you know, but also I own it myself. I wouldn't want to wear something and have somebody say, oh my God, what the hell was she thinking? And I say to my clients, it's not you that will take the flak, it'll be me, because you'll never work with me again. But it's just, it's about having that trust. And some are starting to get slightly braver, but I think it is the fear of appearing on Daily Mail Online with, you know, about 70 million people saying, what the hell was she thinking?
Because I kind of like the opposite. I want, you know, like Ellie and I wear our gold cat suits. Yeah. I've never apologised for
You're unapologetic. How
we, and also we wear like vagina suits and things like that. And we basically want attention, but also we have no fucks to give.
Yes.
And I don't think that's going to change if we get any more sort of famous or whatever doing the scummy mummy stuff. And we like that. And we like that when we go out on stage, that's the first thing that people see is basically two women who've had two kids. Yeah. And it's funny, I don't think I would have done that before I had the children. They're, you know, and I don't think it's just about having children. You go through any kind of major life change and you kind of go, you know, fuck
care.
It. There is worse things to worry about whether my thighs are a size 16 or a size 12 or whatever. And do you think, you know, for you, you're both mothers, what was the kind of turning point for you both? Like, is there... Because the image of mum or motherhood is sort of, oh, you know, like, and a bit like celebrities, oh, downplay it. I'm just going to wear something sensible. I don't, you know, and you sort of lose a bit of yourself, really. You lose that sort of confidence because A, you're fucking tired, and B, you just don't have the time. What advice would you give to women out there who've sort of lost a bit of their sparkle?
It's a tricky one. A lot of the people I work with do that. I think you do lose it a bit because you're knackered. But for me, at the time when I didn't care about my image was when in between my children, I talked to you about this before, I lost one in between mine. And I completely was absolutely kind of grief-stricken and depressed, and I didn't care about what I looked like. So for me, actually, when I then went on to have another baby and he did not sleep until he was two, it was still, I was in a good place, even though I was knackered, so I still cared about what I looked like. I remember a woman once saying to me, after I'd had my daughter, oh, I thought you were going to be like the rest of us once you had kids and not cared what you were, and here you are, like, still rocking up wearing. And it's like...
I know,
but I think she thought it was... I think she felt like it was a compliment, like I was so two things. Your personality doesn't disappear with your placenta. You still are who you are. You're changed, you're forever altered, and there are societal viewpoints upon how a mother should dress, definitely. Although I've spoken to friends who don't have children who are the same age, and they say, no, it's just women of a certain age aren't allowed to dress a certain way. But for me, you might lose your way a bit. And there are practical things. You know, you can't rock up in Louboutins to the play park, you know, when you've got a child. You can't do that. I wear a lot more trainers and I wear a lot more flats. But I'm still me. I'm just a different version of me. But now I used to be a little bit kind of... When I did the school run, if I was wearing something that wasn't Bowdoin. But now, apologies to Bowdoin. It's kind of, I live in Winchester, so it's basically sponsored by Bowdoin. But I'm unapologetic about it. If people look at me, I'm cool with that.
Now, that moves really nicely onto Mums at Slay. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So Mums at Slay, I started that after I had my second daughter. Because it wasn't that I stopped caring about my kids. It's just I really started caring about myself again. I started buying really nice lingerie the second time round, breastfeeding lingerie that was sexy and lacy and silky. And I felt sexy and I felt super confident and I was really expressing myself in terms of how I was dressing. I was also really bored of seeing the same presentation of motherhood on Instagram. And clearly, you know, the saying was that mums don't need to look frumpy and can be stylish, but everyone looked the same. Mm. And I was like, but hang on, in my world, I've got mums covered in tattoos. I've got mums that don't have young children and have, you know, everyone was doing a really different kind of rocking it in their own way. And I wanted to start a movement where, again, in that kind of positive affirmation, when you say I slay, some people find it really hard to say that. But looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, actually, I slay, I kick it. And so that's why in people putting Mums That Slay at the bottom of their Instagram post was really empowering them and building a community. And I think it's like over 30,000 people, over 30,000 posts since I started it. So yeah, that it kind of grew organically. I share a lot of my style on there because I don't dress like other mums. I've got my own thing going on. I don't care if everyone's wearing the same pleated skirts. I've got my own way.
You're not in the same M&S jumpsuit.
I'm not. And, you know, I understand that some people who lose their confidence and are like, oh, I want to feel fashionable again, they might feel inspired and think, if I wear that, therefore I am fashionable. Mm-hmm. But I'm not about that. I don't actually want to be wearing the same things as everyone else.
Well, I think we've solved all the world's problems. We're going to end the podcast with a bit of quick fire round, as we like to end it here at Fat Lot of Good. So I'm going to start with you, Evadne. What makes you feel sexy?
What makes me feel sexy is generally red lipstick. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel super sexy and matching underwear. Ooh. Nice underwear.
Good.
I've been learning this from the Wicked Jade, you know, like, it's okay to not have... I do like big pants, mm-hmm. but when I've got something on like really, really sexy, really ornate, maybe a bit of caging going on and a red lipstick, whether anyone else knows what I've got on underneath or not, that makes me
You're
feel
strutting your stuff.
Yeah.
You've got your groove on.
Awesome. And Prince. Prince music is soundtrack to feeling sexy.
Red lipstick, matching sets, Prince. And what about you, Donna? What makes you feel sexy?
So the underwear thing is good. I agree with Evadne on that because you know that whole thing about you should always dress like you're about to bump into your ex-boyfriend. I think you should always dress like you're about to get run over by a bus and see if I'm lying If I'm lying on that silent witness thing, you know, with the pathologist, I'm going to be there in banging underwear, right? So whatever I look like, they're going to go, Jesus, this girl, her underwear is good. Also, I have quite an unusual...
The earth has lost an angel, a sexy angel.
Exactly. Also, because I'm quite an unusual, like I have a very small back, but quite a big cup size, not that you can tell, because they're down by my knees. So I have to wear Simone Pirel, which is an amazing French brand. Very, very sexy, because I'm a 30E, which is a really weird size. Mm. So wearing sexy underwear makes me feel great because I really think it's the silhouette. It's what you put on, and it also makes your clothes look better depending on, you know, on what you're wearing. Gold hoops because I always have to be in some kind of bling, and bronzer because I'm kind of olivey, and if I don't wear bronzer, I look slightly dead.
Oh, all right. I don't think so, but, you know, own your own feelings. Now, what's your most favourite thing to put in your body?
Gin.
Excellent choice. You hate gin?
I hate gin. I don't get the hype. Sorry.
It's so
I'm
funny.
Really sorry.
Gin has become a thing.
I feel like a bad mum.
No, you don't. You don't. She it's not like... a Brett on top thing. Like, you're all right. You can still not like gin and be cool. I like gin, but I discovered gin later in life. But one of the reasons, tragically, I like gin is because it's quite low calorie as well. So, yeah. So
you can drink twice as much. That's sweet. What I would
well, yeah,
say.
And we have it with diet tonic and it's basically carb free. So there you go. It is. It's fun.
I love your honesty. Now, you both can share one of these. What's your most embarrassing body moment? What has your body done that's made you laugh or made you feel like,
My husband still hasn't told me if I pooed when I had my son 7 years
mine
ago.
That's as well.
Yeah, I think I've put anything that happened before kids has gone way back in my brain. I can't actually remember.
Yeah.
But he still won't tell me. So I reckon I did a really big poo. But in general, after, you know, like breastfeeding, the rings, the pumping into a sink at a house party, that kind of thing. It's just your body is kind of... alive.
It just secretes. Like you're.
Yeah.
If anyone hasn't gone through pregnancy, I mean, there might be men listening. You get the sweats. There's all sorts of crazy sweats that you get, and also, I mean, we're painting a lovely picture.
It's all worth it.
Yeah. Now, we're going into my favourite part of the podcast. Fat facts. So I'm going to share a interesting fact about your body. Now, ladies, would you believe this? That your clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings, which is twice that of a penis.
I knew that.
Wow. Did
you? I knew that.
Oh, that makes me, I mean, I feel like I'm halfway there now just thinking about that.
Yeah, that's a special place.
And I think today we're recording the podcast on International Women's Day, and I feel like, yes, we have a superpower. We have our... our little love button there, that we enjoy sex more.
And we have better orgasms and we can have more orgasms. Like, they're wiped out after one, whereas we can just
keep going.
Just depending on who's there, well, obviously.
Yeah, they've got to do the job right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can...
Amen.
Or we can just do ourselves, you know.
True that.
Exactly true. That's right. Hall of Fat Fame. Who inspires you? Who are women or men that you both look up to?
Ashley Graham.
Yeah.
I'm following her on Instagram purely and simply because whenever, and we all have them days where you might be not feeling great about yourself, I look at her and go, she just looks incredible. And she is unapologetic about it. And she is definitely, I know that she's white, but she's definitely moving stuff in the right direction. She's getting lots of campaigns. She's not just for plus size brands, not just like, you know, Marina Rinaldi. She's now doing Pretty Little Thing, but she's all over it. And she's, designers are now looking to dress her. I know she's beautiful as well, and that helps, but she is not a typical size model. And the fact that she did that campaign for Pretty Little Thing in swimwear, rollerblading down Venice Beach, jiggly thighs, everything, I was like, all hail.
All hail.
Yeah, that's pretty beautiful.
Evadne?
I'm a big fan of Michelle Obama, man. Yeah. I remember when... she first got nominated and I was in New York and I went to Chinatown and bought a massive Michelle Obama shopper bag. I was never really about Barack. I just adored her. And in the sense of, you know, similar story of growing up in a kind of underprivileged background and just the, you know, she was bright and she had ambitious and she had her own thing going on. And that has always inspired me in terms of her career and her style. But really, I think the people that inspire me are my friends. And my husband says lovely things to me and all of that kind of stuff. But just spending time with my really good, like, sister friends, they inspire me.
Excellent. And finally, to end this wonderful podcast, I don't want it to end. You guys are both amazing. Vatspiration. What's your mantras? What are your mantras, ladies?
I said this the other day on a shoot and the millennial said didn't know who I was talking about, so I felt about 90. So my motto to live by is, what would Elizabeth Taylor do? And the answer is, add more lipstick, have a drink, or just like marry a very attractive guy. But so somebody was like, who's Elizabeth Taylor? You know, you're like, brilliant, I'm 90.
So I'm a Christian and most of my mantras kind of come from my faith, so really, for me, it's just about feeling enough and knowing that I deserve to be loved and I must love other people. And so I think that's probably why I love doing Mums at Slay and just empowering other people to feel good and be nice and kind. Sorry, it's not very funny.
No, it's not. I mean, no, it's not. No, that's not what I meant. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
I think kindness and being nice is severely underrated. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm all about being a badass, but the best thing you can do is just be kind.
I start each day, I look out of the window, I say, wow, the world is so beautiful, it's abundant, and I'm going to be happy, kind, and calm. And that's it.
And sexy in your matching.
And sexy.
Sexy in your matching niggas.
And a boss lady. And hustle hard. And all of those.
All those amazing things. Well, my fabulous friends, my sisters in fashion, thank you very much. You've been a fucking delight.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's been hosted by me, Helen Thorne. The producer is the incredible Maddie Hickish. And the music is by John Thorne. Thanks very much. Do subscribe and tell your friends all about it. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.